Chang. Support the Flint Hills Rodeo Association at the Ranch Rodeo this Saturday, September 18th, 4 o'clock in Strawn City. Call 620-366-1618 for details.
KVOE live and local. It is 8:29, sunshine and 69 degrees. And it's time for What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning at this time right here at KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. What's In Outdoors, brought to you by our good friends at Express Tire and Auto. John and Jenny and the exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto take great care of you. That's East 12th right next to the water tower. And Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. Bluestem Farm and a Ranch, where their keyword this year on the text line this week is Chiefs, by the way, and they're giving away a Chiefs garden flag, so text Chiefs to our Bluestem text line, 620-342-5863. And off to Studio North, Council Grove Lake is Phil Totten. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing good today. How are you?
Well, I tell you, I'm here at Studio North, and is right next to our master bathroom. Just about 30 minutes ago, I was watching Ginger. She was looking out the window, and she sort of had a far-off look in her eye. And so I went in there, and I asked her, are you looking at my wild space area that we've created out there with all the beautiful flowers? And I said, are you looking for a place to bury me? She said, no, I wouldn't consider that out there. That's too many rocks. That is. One time I was thinking about putting an asparagus bed out there in my father's garden behind the old cabin. And he said, boy, he said, I don't know where you got your brains, but it wasn't for me. But that's one thing about our area up through here and what keeps it so unique and why we have the Flint Hills and also the tall grass, what we have. It's just not good places to plant things. But the wildlife area is really coming along. I'm seeing cosmos out there. I'm seeing all kind of wildflowers coming up that I spread. And it's been a succession all through the year watching. And, of course, I got various kinds of sunflower seeds that I hope will entertain the pine siskins and the goldfinch here in a month or so. And if people haven't been out in the country lately, it's really starting to turn. The Lord has really touched it with a paintbrush, unlike no other time of year. This is my favorite time of year. And Ron, I'd like to go open spool this morning. By open spool, just our lines are open, 342-5863, and I'd like to try to answer any questions and concerning the great outdoors and also our listeners' thoughts, what's going on out there.
Yeah, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. Hop on in and chat with Phil here anytime during our program this morning. Well, I know that you were doing some bird dog work here this past weekend, weren't you?
Oh, yes. I'll tell you, if you're into bird dogs, and it's a shame a lot of people have never seen a bird dog work. And you know, the things that I've seen out there, there are fantastic critters. Any hunting dog is good. And like I told a boy one time in Hunter's Ed, that he really marveled at and my dogs and the way they pointed the birds. And he said, I wish that I had a dog like that. And I told him, I said, well, do you have a dog? And he said, yeah, I do, but not like that. I said, do you love your dog? And he said, I sure do. And I said, well, that's the main thing. So whether it's a high-powered pointer like what I have or a dog, a companion, and this not just for bird season, Ron. These dogs are good companions the year round. Little Myrn's holding down the front porch right now watching the hummingbirds. We will get into the hummingbirds and where we're at with them now a little bit later in the show. But yes, I went to Salina. NSTRA is a great organization. I've been a part of it since 1990. I used to be the regional president here and also the judging instructor. And just to see these dogs work is something. The friendships that I've made with people that I would never have met or knew about their family or their dogs until I joined NASTRA is something that I hold dear to my heart. But I'll tell you, Ron, last Sunday was H-O-T-T hot. Goodness Ooh. Gracious. And this time of year when the grasses are still green and a lot of people are talking about the ragweed and their hay fever coming up, well, think how that affects a dog's ability to scent game in those conditions. And sometimes even the best dog that has the best nose can't smell birds if it's overpowered with the ragweed. And this field did have the ragweed in it. And a lot of times when I wasn't having any bird work, I was marveling at the wildflowers that it had in it and also the bees. And goodness, I never would have thought that mosquitoes would have been out on a Sunday in the middle of the day as hot as it was. And there was a good wind. So with heat and wind and green grasses, we never really did get the bird work that I like to see. But when the dogs got on and were able to send birds, it's a sight to behold. And I do have some pictures of these dogs up on my Facebook page that people can see, and also a video of seeing how a dog will quarter and search for game in these fields. But NASTRA is a unique type of field trial. Some people would say, I don't want a field trial dog. But they don't understand that these dogs are also the dogs that we use during the hunting season. And, you know, through the training and getting out with them, NASTRA will extend your season after the season's over. And it also is just a great format to get your dogs in shape for the hunting season. But it starts is a draw. The trial chairman will draw dogs that are matched against each other in what you call a brace. A full trial will have 16 braces in them, with a brace running a half hour apiece. You can see that's at least an eight-hour day. So 8 hours on a four-wheeler in that heat, it tells me that, Phil, you might start looking for something else to do. But it's fun, and meeting the people and seeing the dogs go out there after the birds. And the first brace, generally they go after six birds. That's what's put out there. And then every brace after that, they go after five birds, just because there will be a buildup out in the field sometimes. And dogs are judged by their pointing ability, just how when they recognize the scent, how they will staunch up and point. They're recognized by their find. If the handler does hit the bird and it goes down, the dog will go after it, retrieve. We like to see that retrieve come straight back to the handler, where the dog doesn't mouth it, isn't hard-mouthed, and then doesn't drop the bird. They're also judged on obedience, the find and the retrieve is up to a scale from 0 to 100. The obedience is scaled from 0 to 75. And then they're also judged on a back that's honoring another dog that's on point, and it can only get one back during the brace. And to see a dog back is really, I marvel at that, to give that other dog the respect that it deserves since it had the find. Some dogs don't like the back and go in there and bust the bird. That can create some problems. So when field trialing is, you can talk with people that have been around dogs, and there's a lot of top-notch trainers there to give some tips on your dogs and what you might do to make your dog a better performer. And then the last criteria is they're judged on ground coverage. And that's not just covering the whole field. Some of these fields might be 60, 70 acres. But by ground coverage, I mean they're really actually hunting. And with the conditions so hot, there some of the handlers just chose to work one part of the field because they knew there was a bird buildup. And by staying in that one part of the field and not letting the dog run all over the field, sometimes these birds might get a little nervous and start moving. And I've seen birds sit in on the ground to where they wouldn't put out any scent. But then a little bit of movement will create scent. The dog will be able to pick them up. So that's your criteria on the judging. And then at the end of the day, the dog that is not necessarily found the most birds, but has handled the birds with good style and got points and all the other criteria, that'll be the winner. And you do have championships. We started trialing there around Emporia. We had some fields south of town, to where Bruce Hoover and Gene Nose let me use the fields, and Dave Holland also let us use the field. But then we moved over to the S&P Game Bird Farm near Miller, and was able to host several national championships. So it's cool seeing these dogs come from all over the United States and participate in the fields in Kansas. So it was fun. There'll be other trials coming up. I'll be judging a trial over by Sterling on October 10th and then down around Fort Scott on October 24th. So people, if you're interested in field trialing, give us a call. One of the things that I loved about the Slina trial was when I started in the 90s, and I was a member of the Call Valley Shoot Retrieve Club, a young lady named Cole Hawkins came to the trial with her father. she would, you know, work the dogs and put the dogs back on the leash after he had ran them and give them water. And it's just the family aspect of the game that I really like. Well, Cole and her husband, Robert, showed up at the field trial there at Salina with their little baby. And I told Cole about the trial, and she wanted to get Robert involved because they just got a brand-new little setter. And they came there, and Robert said that she was so excited the night before that she was going to another field trial that she couldn't even sleep. So that's passing it on and getting these people involved with it. So, Ron, let's go to that first break. And once again, listeners, I'd like to know your thoughts about the great outdoors.
All right. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors. Give Phil a call here this morning, 342-5863, 342-KVOE. We're back with more after this.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
Summer may be over, but it's not over for your lawn. Bluestem has Scott's Lawn Care products that'll help you keep your yard looking green and healthy through fall and give it a head start for next spring, like Scott's Lawn Pro Weed Feed Fertilizer. It comes in bags that cover 5,000 and 15,000 square feet. Pick up the right amount for your place. When it comes to Scott's Lawn Care products, if you need it and if your lawn needs it, Bluestem's got it. Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply. West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, sunshine and 70 degrees. Beautiful start to the day. Nice stretch of weather here, no doubt about that, for mid-September. You are tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten from Studio North, Council Grove Lake. And Phil, we have a caller on that has a question for you here.
Yes, sir.
Phil, I had lots of hummingbirds this year. I was really surprised because they're usually gone by now. And I have one that's really, really tiny compared to the rest of them. And then I have one that is pure green. Is he a special breed or something?
It could be. You know, unless I see the bird, I couldn't identify it. But most of the birds that we have around here is the ruby-throated hummingbird. And I'm going to get into that during this segment because some people still have hummingbirds. Of course, earlier this year, some people were wondering where they all were. And sometimes hummingbirds will migrate pretty early. But around here, it's mostly the ruby-throated hummingbird. And, of course, the male has the red throat, where the female has the green, the real green that you're talking about on its back, but it has a whiter breast. And you see all kind of different sizes, and the antics that they do around the hummingbird feeder is really something. I sit out there at the evening, and sometimes I'll have six or seven just swarming about 3-4 feet from me there. And one of them almost hit me. They chase each other and play games. But if you go to a computer, you could search just a green hummingbird. And see it'll give you some ideas. Cornell University has an awful good site.
Well, I have a variety of them this year. I've never had before because they didn't come till late, and I've still got plenty that are around here. But I also have a fat one that dominates the feeder. If anybody comes near the feeder, she'll chase it off. And so I don't know where she's gone to. She hasn't been here the last couple of days now. So they are really interesting to watch.
When they do that, I just think to myself, birds, can't we just get along? Go ahead.
Well, I just wondered if you knew what kind he was, because this is the first year we've ever had a pure green one. So, but we really enjoy our hummingbirds. So
I will look into that and see if I can come up with an answer for you. Just a pure green one. Now, is he green on the front and the back, all over?
I can never see his tummy. he's always at the feeder, and but he is from head to the tail, a solid green.
Well, I want to thank you for your call, and some people are wondering, you know, right now, when do I quit feeding the hummingbirds? We still have a lot coming down that are migrating, and I talked with one birder, and he said that he had hummingbirds early, and that's, and a lot of his has already left, even though he has a garden full of flowers, and his hummingbird feeders are full. So they do migrate through at all times of different years. Others migrate later. A good rule of thumb is leave those feeders up for 10 days to 2 weeks after you've seen the last hummingbird. When it's time to migrate, even though they have a good food source, they will migrate.
I will do that. I also have Rosa Sharon that they like.
Adalphia, Rosa Sharon, hibiscus, and this is where I think some people underestimate the need for the wildflowers. Of course, a feeder full of sugar water and that is an attractor, but they really like to go out, and I've had them in my garden within an arm's length going with on the okra blooms, and of course the okra bloom resembles Rosa Sharon out there.
So,
do you want to thank you for your call, and keep enjoying
the wildflowers. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll tell you, I got to tell you that, you know, the investment my wife made in that hummingbird feeder, now that we got to the new porch out in front of the house, one of the best investments we have ever made, without a doubt. We've gotten so much enjoyment during the evenings out of sitting out there on the porch and watching the hummingbirds do their thing, so to speak. It's just been a true delight here the past few weeks to watch the hummingbirds. And you mentioned, Phil, they're still around out there.
Yes, they are. I've seen mine this morning already, and the other evening I had seven. That they're just so entertaining to watch. Sometimes they will get along. I mean, I've seen as many as four set on each perch at a feeder, but then sometimes when one gets there too long and you have one of those dominant birds that just guards the feeder. And sometimes I think it's just play. They like to aggravate each other and go out there, but no, they are very entertaining. Around this time of year, I don't keep my feeders full. I might take them just, you know, half full. If the day gets up pretty hot, I'll try to change that nectar once every 3 days, but most of the time I'll leave the solution in there for about a week. But like I said, if you don't see them for maybe 10 days to 2 weeks, it might be time to take your feeder down. And you do want to clean them out real good, give them a periodic bath, because it will get mold inside of them.
Okay.
And can cause some harm to the birds. Do you know that hummingbirds eat spiders?
I did not know that, Phil. No.
Yes, they're not just a nectar solution. They'll go after spiders pretty good. Ron, last week you mentioned woodpeckers and poison ivy. What we got going on there?
Well, Phil, I'm glad you brought that up. I was doing one of my evening walks with Buster, and I came upon a neighbor who was doing some work with the variety of plants she has in her yard, and she was nearing a tree that said she was looking for some poison ivy that she thought she was going to have under this tree, and it generally does. And she said she was talking to, I don't know, it was a horticulturalist a while back, because she said she noticed that poison ivy always came up under a certain tree she had. And this gentleman told her that woodpeckers, if she had a woodpecker on that tree, she says she does annually have woodpeckers on that tree, and apparently they like to feed on poison ivy. Woodpeckers do. And
yes.
And they will take, they will take and sometimes get feed or seeds into the hole on a tree that they're around, and the seeds fall down and lie under that tree, and that's where your poison ivy comes from, under certain trees there, if you got woodpeckers. So that's what I learned, Phil.
Well, that's very true, Ron. And you are expanding your knowledge
there
of
we
the
go.
Great outdoors, aren't you? That's cool. No, not only woodpeckers, tent mice, cardinals, the game birds, they all like poison ivy seeds. So, and they do transplant them. Chickadees will eat them when they can, and, of course, the poison ivy will have a little red, I mean a little white fruit on it. But just remember, leaves are free, let it be, because poison ivy can really cause some problems with a lot of people. In this field trial that we had, sometimes along this one line, it was just full of poison ivy. And I told people that. I said, your dog's been down in there. When you get back, you might want to wash it off or do whatever you can. Just don't pet it, because I don't know if you call it sap or just whatever it is on those leaves can be transported from a dog to the person. But some of those things that we call weeds that people don't want around is very beneficial to wildlife. Ron, let's go to that last break, and I'll talk about some early migrants that we got coming down here, and especially the pelicans.
All right, can't wait. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten. Again, want to jump on with Phil here this morning. 342-5863 is the number. We're back with more after this.
Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply has got it.
Even the earliest humans used salt as a preservative. Today's stockman knows the importance of salt in preserving livestock health and profits. And nobody knows salt like American Stockman. There's tons of it at Bluestem in 50-pound bags and blocks. Big Six mineral salt and fine stock salt, white salt blocks, sulfur salt blocks, all from American Stockman. Get the salt your herd needs from friendly, helpful people that are the salt of the earth at Bluestem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE Live and a local sunshine and 70 degrees. You're tuned in to What's In Outdoors with Phil Totten every Friday morning right here. Make sure you log on to KVOE.com. Hop on the What's In Outdoors page. All kinds of great information highlighting some upcoming outdoor activities. And Phil's always got photos. And, of course, you can go to Phil Totten's Facebook page, too. Phil's always got a lot of stuff going on. That's because Phil's always doing a lot of stuff. What's In Outdoors from Studio North, Council Grove Lake.
Won't be long. I'm going to be moving to Studio South, and I just had a red-bellied woodpecker come to the feeder here at Studio North, but the geese are starting to get onto the lake, and Ginger saw our first eagle just the other day. That's cool, and I know the photographers in this area are starting to see things because they're starting to line the spillway area of the dam. And up there will be a lot of wildlife come up there that they'll see the blue herons get out on the rocks and try to get a fish that comes through there. But this past week, we've had a buildup of pelicans down here. And a pelican is an unusual bird, I guarantee you. And some people will think that they store fish in that big throat that they have, but not really. It's just used more of like a trap or a seine. And there's several different kinds of pelicans, but the two that I've seen down here is the brown pelican that has really made a remarkable comeback due to DDT and that. But the pelican, they also will sometimes hunt in groups to where they'll form a U-shape and swim along and beat their wings, and that'll get the bait fish, especially on top, close together, and then they'll just scoop them up in their big mouth saying, and there's a morning dove, my morning dove just come to look at the feeder. So things are going on, and there'll be other birds come down too, and some people might wonder, well, where did my goldfinch go? Sometimes the goldfinch, well, not sometimes, all the time, the male, that's the bright yellow, he'll start turning back to his winter colors, and it looks just like a female. So the goldfinch are still around, but it's just the male has went to his winter plumage. But pelicans, Ron, too, they eat turtles. Did you know that?
No, I'm learning all kinds of stuff again here, Phil.
And what was really a graphic film one time is I saw a pelican had a pigeon. And so picture this poor little pigeon bouncing around in this pelican's throat, showing to the sides, before the pelican finally swallowed it. But no, it's a very, very interesting bird. And I think they can get up to like 4 feet tall out there to watching them. Ron, we did have a big catfish tournament down here last week. That was pretty cool. It was the Jordan Miller Memorial Catfish Tournament, and the big fish weighed 1165, and the creel that won it was just over 40 pounds. Now, these were all channel cat that were caught, and most of them were caught on a blood bait or caught shad. If you've ever went after shad with a casting net, sometimes that's an experience too. The best I can do is when I throw it, it looks like a taco shell. But when you can throw it out there that looks like a basketball net and it comes down, one throw will get you enough bait to last you the whole time. So those guys really did a good job. We had over 20 teams, and of course it's their benefit is to support youth activities and the shooting sports in Waubunsee County. There is a big catfish tournament going on in Milford on the 25th of September. That's the catfish chasers, and with a $5,000 purse, it's guaranteed for first place. You're going to see some rigs if you go there. And this is one thing, I go to the tournaments just to see how other people catch fish. How do they, you know, rig up for them? And these catfishermen, they got a system going down with even putting bobbers between their weights and their hook that'll bring that bait up a little bit. Of course, channel cat, they love the smell. I think they go after smell just as much as they go after sight. And so that brings that bait up off the bottom a little bit that's leaving a scent trail. That weigh in there at Milford will be about 4 o'clock. So people, you do want to go over there and see that. They're really cool. Of course, tournament fishing, field trials aren't for anybody, but it is a learning experience. Of course, we're on September 25th. That's where we'll be celebrating National Hunting and Fishing Day, which is a holiday set forth by a president. I can't bring his name to mind right now, and that's just enjoyment of the outdoors and that. And that's one reason we decided to use our last VAP event. It'll be at Peter Pan Park. Of course, VAP is Vamos a Pescar. It's been a tremendous program engaging people into fishing that might otherwise not have a chance to learn about the rules and regulations of fishing. And there'll be another VAP event at Cabela's in Wichita on October 16th. And we're going to have our first luau here at Council Grove, and I hope this weather holds true. It's going to be down at the Marina on the Water on October 2nd, where we'll cook a pig. And if we can't get no hula dancers, Ron, I'm looking for male dancers, you know, that might be the Chuckendales of Council Grove. But we do believe in having a good time down there.
By the way, it was President Nixon that came up with the National Hunting and Fishing Day back in 1971. There it is.
Yeah, it's really been something. We've done a lot of things on that weekend. We used to have Take a Kid Hunting Days out at the hideout to where we would introduce them to fishing, introduce them to trap shooting, and then we'd take them over to S&P Game Bird Farm and let them harvest a bird. And I remember one young man, he came in, and of course with my bird dogs and knowing how to handle dogs, we'd put out the race-release birds, and a big old rooster pheasant come up, and he shot it at it, like about at the end of his gun barrel. And I said, son, you might want to let them get out a little bit further. He said, no, Grandpa said if you shoot quick, you'll do better. I said, well, maybe. I didn't want to let him know. But he wanted to go after another one. I said, well, we have other kids waiting. You might go back to the trap shooting range and shoot, and just remember to wait a little bit. So when he came back, when the bird come up, he got it and made a nice clean shot with it using his grandpa's gun. So that was really rewarding.
There you go.
If you have some kids that want to get into the outdoors, you do want to check into Passing On Outdoor Mentors, because they are really involved with getting youth, not only youth, the whole family out into the great outdoors with hunting and fishing and a lot of programs.
Well, Phil, you're doing a great job. Great work. Keep it up.
All righty. I'm going to work out in this wild space area and try to get a little bit of rhyme or reason to it. But I used to love to go knock on a farmer's door who wasn't really the best farmer in the world, but you could see the weeds in his crops, and you know the wildlife was in it.
All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks. God bless, Ron. Hope to see you next Friday.
All righty. Phil Totten, host of What's In Outdoors here at KVOE every Friday morning. Brought to you by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower and Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply on West Highway 50. Phil, great work getting, everyone outdoors for a better indoors. That's what Phil does, and he takes it to a whole new level, I'll tell you. Always something going on there with Phil Totten. Log on to KBOE and hop on the What's In Outdoors page. All kinds of information there for you to glean. KVOE Live and Local 858, 70 degrees. Good morning.
A major UN climate summit opens in early November in Scotland, and today the White House is hosting a virtual